Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, June 9th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Hey, thanks for taking over for me on Friday.
Well, thank you
hope you
for coming back today.
Did you do a good job on Friday for me?
No, not as good as I could have.
I don't believe that.
That's true.
I don't.
It wasn't. You know, you have days. It's like if you're going to do a live program, it's like basketball or football or anything else. It is a contact sport. And there's days when you are on and you're up for your game, and there's other days when you're really not.
I'll just say it. You missed me, Al.
Anyway. That might be, but I'm gonna explore some other explanations and options here, and then maybe that's the answer. But
well, gold missed me. It was up they came back on Monday, up a whole dollar. Didn't miss me either. But they were looking at $1,254 for gold. Silver's up 7 cents today at $1,918. Platinum was down $2 at $1,456, along with palladium down $5. At 844. USDX today, it's approaching that 81 level, 80.65, up 0.22. Crude oil today was up big, up $1.74 at 104.40. And the paper markets today, and they eked out a little bit, not a whole lot. The Dow was up 18 at 16,943. The NASDAQ up 14. At 43.36, and the S&P up 1 at 1,951. The ten-year yield today 2.61, up 0.02 on the day. For all your gold and silver, give us a call at 800-375-4188. It's going to be a great month of June, so make sure you get in and take advantage of these lower prices. And they've been giving us lower prices now for the past, really for the past year. Yes, you can go back to 1900, but really it was a year ago in April where they really took the hammer to gold and silver. So they've been giving us the opportunity. And someone says, well, I can't wait till they quit their manipulation. Well, folks, you got to remember something. When they quit their manipulation and things begin to fall apart, things will happen so quickly we won't have time to get into the market. And will there be product there for you to get at that time? So take advantage of it now while you still can. And I'm not one of those, I'm not some of these guys out there who cry the sky is falling on a daily basis with dates that have been wrong, 99.9% of the time they've been wrong. But yet they continue to bring their predictions, and they're wrong. But really,
it's called optimism, Melody.
I hardly think
optimism.
But interesting today, Mr. Obama has signed another.
Executive order.
Well, he calls them a presidential memorandum. A little kinder, gentler, not executive order, but presidential memorandum, aiming to alleviate that big burden that the student loan debt these kids are having. Borrowers pay no more than 10% of their income every month. And he also threw his support behind some more legislation that is targeting the issue. He said that this is going to help about 5 million borrowers. An additional 5 billion borrowers lower their monthly payments. He says, I'm only here because this country gave me a chance through education. We are here today because we believe that in America, no hardworking young person should be priced out of a higher education. They get the higher education, but they certainly don't have the jobs in which to go to in order to use these educations. There was also an existing repayment plan that was announced in 2010 that let borrowers pay no more than 10% on their monthly income and payments, but it was only available for those who started borrowing after 2007. Well, his executive order today expands that program by making it open to those who borrowed any time in the past. So any student loan in the past, it will apply to you to help you out.
Well, what's the motive for doing this, Melody?
Why do you believe this is an election year and the economy, of course?
I'll tell you another motive. They probably anticipate, or have surveys already indicate, that there is a high rate of default among the kids who have these college loans.
There's a trillion.
And rather than let them default on the loan, they're going to say, okay, we're gonna give it all. You don't have to pay more than 10% of your monthly income towards your student loan. It will help kids to avoid default. It will also help the banks. There's a lot of money tied up in these student loans, and it's going to help the banks to maintain these loans as, I can't think of the proper term. I want to say productive, but that's not the proper term. But they're performing. These are still performing loans as long as the kids are kicking in. I'm going to make you a bet that although Obama's here and telling us all he's here to help us, he's really here to make sure that we don't have defaults on those loans, because that's bad for the banks. All right, might be good for the kids, but it's bad for the banks. And one other thing is this. I haven't read the explanations of the 10% maximum, the presidential memorandum. But what it means that your loan is going to be, it doesn't mean that you just pay 10% a month. If you've got a loan that's good for, it was supposed to pay it off in 5 years, you're still paying it off in 5 years at 10% per month of your income maximum. It means the loan will be extended in time because you're paying less of it per month. And odds are, with the interest that is already on the loan, by the time you get done, it's actually going to increase the amount of money the kids are paying for their education, although it's going to be increased over a period of time. It'll be additional years. And so the point I'm just trying to make is this. Someone comes up and says, look, I have some free money for you because we really, really like you. There's a real good chance that when people offer you free money, there's probably a problem with that. And that even includes presidents.
He is also directing they want Congress to renegotiate contracts with the federal student loan services to encourage them to make it easier for borrowers to avoid defaulting on their loans, perhaps rewriting their loans also is what they're hoping to do so that they can avoid defaulting. And you're talking about $1 trillion, over $1 trillion in loans. And what's another interesting thing about this is the funny thing about this, in previous budgets, they predicted that making this plan retroactive would cost billions of dollars in the early years. It would cost the federal government billions of dollars in early years.
Yep.
And when they were asked about these costs today, the education secretary says, well, we won't know how much it will cost until they go through the rulemaking process to put the expansion in place. We actually don't know the cost yet. We'll figure that out on the back end. So it's kind of like, we'll just get it done. Forget what it costs. There's no debt ceiling limit on anything. So, hey, you know, we don't care what it'll cost, because you're right.
It'll prevent defaults.
The thought of the defaults is far more severe than the billions and billions of dollars it'll cost.
Yeah, government.
Not the government. The taxpayers.
Yeah, hard to say that. And no, it's not clear that the taxpayers are ever going to make good on the government's debts, though. I know that's the idea, and everyone says, well, the taxpayers, they're good for it. They'll pay our bills. You know, there's a lot of people in welfare right now. Government's good for it. They'll pay our bills. The government says, well, the taxpayers are good for it. They'll pay our bills. And we're getting to a point where some of the taxpayers are going to say, you know, maybe not. You know, I think I'm going to take off for a month or two and maybe not pay the government's bills.
Well, as stands, the taxpayers.
That's the intent. But the truth of the matter, the bills are too great to be repaid.
Exactly.
You know, we talked about that a bunch of times. This whole thing is just so bizarre. You know, it really feels like they've taken the fluoride out of the drinking water and substituted LSD. Because the whole system is becoming just weird. And it's the inevitable consequence of fundamental attributes, characteristics that you find in that fiat monetary system. Seems like a heck of a deal. Seems brilliant when they first get it rolling. Everybody can kind of get rich. It stimulates the economy. This is great. It's brilliant. Until you get to the point where reality begins to intrude, and then what do? You're caught in a very difficult situation, and what can they do now except admit that the fiat monetary system is a complete debacle? They either come out and admit it, or we try to postpone the moment of admission. And we'll lie and deceive and do whatever we have to do in order to conceal fundamental idea, the system's going down. When's this going to happen? Don't know. You know, a number of people, John Williams, for example, at ShadowStats.com, he believes that significant hyperinflation will begin this year. He doesn't say that it'll be concluded this year. He doesn't say that we'll see the top end or anything like that, but he believes that this year is going to mark the beginning of the end, right? Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, but he's not the only guy who thinks so. Other people who think that this year, they've been predicting, this year, intelligent, rational people have got access to a lot of information, research, and they have suggested that this year this stuff begins to hit the fan in earnest. Now, is it going to happen? We don't know, but it certainly could happen. We don't know that it's going to happen, but we know that it's conceivable, which means it'd be a good idea for people to prepare for that possibility.
You certainly have some things that are beginning to unwind. Number one, you have the elections, and I think that'll be a major election this year. So a lot of things will start unwinding prior to. But you also have the Obamacare corporations that needs to go into effect by the first of 2015, and then we will have the debt ceiling limit discussion the first of next year. So
what do you think will happen with the debt ceiling?
It'll be interesting to see what numbers. I think they'll just continue to extend it, but I mean, it's the numbers that will be revealed. I mean, we have no idea now.
Yeah.
How far? I mean, we have no idea. And so I think that will be a shock to the system.
It'll be interesting to see what happens, but we're the only country on Earth that has, I think maybe there's one other one, that actually has a debt ceiling of the sort we do.
Yeah,
it's not common. It's extremely uncommon throughout the world. I'm going to bet that government just eliminates the debt ceiling next year. And a lot of people won't understand. They'll say that's terrible and blah, 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 but it'll be after the election, and therefore they'll get away with it.
Whether they eliminate it or not, I think it's something that will certainly have a will play a major impact, I believe, with everything else that will be happening all at the same time. So again, when you continue to see talks with Russia beginning to, you know, wanting to pay their, you know, wanting to get at the U.S. dollar, you see the relationships with Russia and China beginning to, you know, become a little more solid. You're beginning to see all these other things that are happening. This is just another big thing, I believe, to erode more confidence on the U.S. dollar. So
I'll agree with that. I won't say that it's a big thing, but
well,
I'll say that it's certainly another straw on the camel's back.
Because they'll just find out how weak economically the U.S. really is.
Well, if everyone reaches a point where they understand the consequences of the debt,
mm-hmm.
and they really begin to appreciate, look, the debt can't be repaid. And the consequences are enormous. We
world leaders understand the consequences.
Sure, they do.
Those are the
average person.
If
the debt can't be paid, it means for every debt, there's a correlative financial debt instrument that people treat as an asset. If I borrow $100,000, I get to use that $100,000 to put an addition on the house or whatever, or improve my business or. But someone's holding a piece of paper that says Al owes $100,000. And if something happens where I can't pay my debt, that asset, this guy's walking around with a piece of paper with says $100,000 and has my signature. He says, hey, I'm a rich man. I got $100,000 here. No, you don't. All you have is a receipt. You have an IOU for a loan. And if I can't pay, guess what? Your piece of paper becomes worthless. And there is the great danger. If it turns out, if not just if, but when it becomes apparent that we can't pay all the debts in this country, the value of these paper debt instruments is going to fall dramatically. And my guess is 80-90%. Now, it's a guess. It's not, you know, I can't give you science on that. But I believe my strong suspicion is that these debt instruments are going to fall in value by 80-90%. When that happens, you can't pay the debt. That means the correlative paper debt instruments, the United States Treasuries, which are included in some people's pension funds, and some people have them in their portfolio and whatever, they are going to turn out to be substantially worthless. And that's the danger. Capital will disappear. Paper capital will disappear. And what will we use to restart the economy after all this paper capital has been wiped out? And the only thing that's going to likely to be around is something like gold, and I'm not sure who's going to have any, because the United States Treasury has good reason to suspect that they've been selling off America's gold. Good reason to suspect that the United States Treasury may be substantially empty. We can't prove it, but they haven't had an audit. For 60 years, you know, and we'll talk a little about this when we get deeper into the program, but what are we going to use for capital? When the debt goes down, so does all of the correlative paper wealth. That's, you know, they wipe out the debt, who cares? But you have to care, because it'll turn everybody holding the Treasury bill or a United States bond, guess what? You can kiss your assets goodbye, or at least much of them, and it will probably cascade where it affects stocks and bank accounts and 401ks and IRAs. The only people that are going to have capital that will get through this moment when the debt finally has to be admitted, we can't pay all that. The only people that are likely to get through that are people who are holding on to something tangible like gold. We're going to take a break now for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Adisk here on Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in about 2.5-3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
The aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188.
We have Bob in Iowa. He was talking about the students getting favored loans. They're actually voters. He says he's just making this for political purposes also. And he says, why doesn't he just find out a way to reduce the rate of increase in obtaining a college education?
Yeah, I agree. The whole thing is just one more aspect. It's difficult to do programs like this where you have to pay attention, try to pay attention, try to understand what's going on. Where do you find the silver lining in this cloud, Melody? And I'd like to. You know, I'd like to find something, but it's one event after another. I'm unable. I don't doubt we've probably reported a couple of things and we've missed a couple of things that were positive, but I sure don't remember any. What have we seen that's positive for the United States economy? What's positive for United States power, prestige, whatever? Have we seen anything that smacks anyone here of good news? As good news, excuse me? I haven't seen it.
Well, you can look at the student loans. You know, it'll make it easier for them to pay it back, although it is not the real reason, behind
Exactly.
You know, to truly That's help it. Them. But I learned a long time ago that evil and bad, in order to accomplish, they show tidings of goodwill. Hey,
yeah,
we're here to help you.
That's exactly.
And look what we do. And in the back room, they're there with their other hand, stealing it from you and doing all kinds of evil things. So, every once in a while, I do see employment is hiring here and there and so forth. But really, there's no major changes in this country economically to have, Ben Bernanke, the Federal Reserve, since the Great Recession, Depression, whatever you want to call it, what have they done? They've been able to stop the flow of the collapse. They were able to, but everything they've done has just made it worse.
Even that is debatable.
I know.
Because they have something like 80% of the money that they gave the banks under the premise that the banks would then lend the money to the people. The bank sat on something like 80% of it. It never got to the people. It has yet to reach the economy in a significant sense. So, insofar as the economy has made any recovery at all, it's hard to pin that recovery, blame the recovery on the money that the Federal Reserve injected into the economy. All of that stimulus. It was supposed to get down to where you and I were able to borrow money and go out and buy a car or house or whatever. It never really did. The vast majority of it didn't. The banks are still sitting on it. Why? This isn't news. All right? This information and understanding has been available for a couple of years, and yet it's been tolerated and allowed. Mr. Bernanke, Ms. Yellen are out there telling us, look, we're pumping this money into the economy in order to stimulate it. But in fact, they haven't pumped the money into the economy. They've pumped it into the banks. The banks have largely just sat on it. So if there's been any recovery at all, it's pretty much due to whatever the American people have done. It doesn't have a whole lot to do with the Federal Reserve's injection of money into the economy. It hasn't reached us yet. And the fact that that's happened is curious and surprising, but why has it been allowed? It's not news. People have been aware of this probably, 4 or 5 years. And yet we sit here and we still have the problem and we wonder, we can legitimately wonder what would have happened to the economy if the money had gotten through the banks to the people? What would have happened? Where would the economy be? Insofar as we've allowed the banks to sit on it, the whole idea behind stimulus has been frustrated. So why did we have stimulus? Why does anyone even talk about giving this money? And the answer appears to be, it was really never intended to do the American people any good. It was only intended to support the banks.
And Wall Street.
Mm-hmm. You look at this and you consider this problem, this phenomena, and you sit back and wonder, why are they doing that? Are they really here? And the question that has to come up, is the government really here to do us any good? Or is the government really here to cause real trouble in this economy? We've speculated, speculation has been around for some time that the gold has been, that's supposedly 8,200 tons of gold that's allegedly owned by the United States Treasury. There's reason to believe that maybe it's not there anymore, that much of it has been secretly sold off into the markets. All right. Some people believe this is happening, and the evidence we've seen, Germany, for example, they wanted 300 tons of their gold back. They received 5 tons in the first year after they made their request. And the government is claiming it'll take at least until 2020 to get all, another 6 years to give Germans the gold that Germany is supposed to own. it's hard to look at evidence like that and not conclude that the reason the government's taking so long to return gold to Germany is because the gold's gone. The government has secretly sold the United States Treasury, and they've pumped it into the commercial markets and the commodities markets. And as a result, it's helped to support the apparent value of the dollar and suppress the price of gold. But at the same time, if this speculation is valid, the government has pretty much exhausted our treasury of gold. They have knowingly shipped it, at least ultimately, maybe not directly, but ultimately to China. Maybe to India, but out of this country. Without that gold, if we have a monetary collapse, if the dollar becomes worthless and we have a monetary collapse in this country, we can't go back to a gold-based currency. Without that gold, what are we going to use for capital to kickstart the economy in the event that we have a collapse? We're not going to be able to kickstart the economy with more paper dollars. Nobody's going to believe in that. There'll be no confidence in that. We're going to have a currency that's probably backed by gold or silver. Right? At least that's the obvious explanation. Why are they, you know, we can sit back and government say, well, we were sold off all the gold to protect the dollar. Well, that's a good excuse, maybe. But in the process, they have betrayed the best interests of the American people. They've betrayed the best interests of the United States of America to protect a currency which is, in the end, issued by a private corporation. It's not even real money. It's just paper and plastic and ink. And they're fighting to hold that illusion together, even though the fight may cost us most of our national treasury of gold. What happens then? And this gets back to this question. Are they doing it to us because they're just too stupid to know what they're doing? Or are they doing it because they intend to bring this country to its knees? Is your president, is your Congress, and your Senate, are they dominated by forces that want to do real harm to this country? Or are they just a bunch of buffoons? Because that seems to be the two options that are there. Who's looking at Congress right now, the Senate, certainly the White House, and say, oh, there's someone who's working for the best interests of the United States of America? Can any of you name a congressman along those lines? There's a couple out there that might fall into that classification, maybe. But what consensus exists in this country that there are people in positions of power that are working to do what's best for this country? I don't see that consensus. I see confusion and doubt. Nobody wants to sit back and say, look, they're a pack of treasonous whores, with the possible exception of me. But not many people want to do that. But still, it is a viable possibility, maybe even a probability. And it's frightening. We don't have a problem that we can't solve if we can identify the problem. But if we have people in positions of power who are working contrary to our best interests, we are headed for big trouble. And it's more than economics. It's treachery, it's treason. And if that's really there, then we are headed for some big trouble.
You know, these multinational corporations, the people behind them, the wealth that they have accumulated at our
expense.
Mm-hmm. It makes you wonder. I mean, there is no reality. I mean, when you're carrying around, I mean, to them, a billionaire anymore is what once was someone who walked around with a million or, you know, half a million. I mean, these numbers are so bizarre anymore, I believe. How can you have a touch of reality? And there can't be any reality. I mean, you talk about two different worlds. And listening to them talk today, particularly on CNBC, you know, they talk about, oh, it's not inside trading when, you know, when we get this information from a corporation and we decide to help the shareholders out and go in and buy and you know, and I'm thinking to myself, Al, you know, normal people, and I'm talking about people who have even wealth, you know, $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, they don't have a chance against these billionaires.
No.
And you wonder the amount of money that these billionaires have in relationship to some countries.
It's
and
true.
So you're looking at the power, and they've got these countries in their back pocket. So
well, they've got the leaders of these countries in their back pocket. I don't know if they have the countries per se, at least not directly,
well,
but they have
beholden to them in so many ways. Their lives are. I mean, you know, financially, absolutely, they're beholden. You know, we have an article here on U.S. pensions, cash negative by 2016.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about pension funds, these hedge funds, I mean, and these are the people with the billions of dollars who own all of this. It's people need to do what they have to do on their own because it's a world that I think most people, you're right, I don't think there's anybody out there that's really dumb. They can't grasp the reality of what's going on. It's kind of bizarre.
It's bizarre.
It's a movie.
It's like a horror movie. It's a little bit like those things where people continue, okay, you go down the north wing and I'm going to go down the south wing and let me know if you see anything. These people always divide up. They have a peculiar kind of confidence that nothing's wrong. Huh? And we don't want to believe that anything's wrong. We want to believe that things will work out. We want to believe that things are okay. You look at this and you study it, and it's difficult to avoid the conclusion that things are, in fact, fragile and perhaps even threatening. And you look at it, and it's hard to look at. You don't want to look at it. I want to do Happy Days Are Here Again. I want to sing it. I want to go dance to it, the rest of that sort of thing. But I just can't find the evidence to support that conclusion as much as I might like to, and I'm tempted. And I'm sure that most other people in the United States are also tempted the same way. They want to believe the best for this country, for the economy, for the people. They want to believe for the Congress, for the Senate. Want to believe the best. Want to. But it's very difficult to pay close attention and maintain that attitude. Because you just get instance after instance after instance where, ta-da, looks like, you know, how many times do you have to flip a coin and it comes up heads in a row before you finally say, you know, I think that coin is fixed. There's something wrong with the way they're flipping the coin. If it comes up heads half the time, tails half the time, or heads 60%, tails 40%, okay, I can work with that. I can work with that. But when it's 100% heads and not even 1% tails, you have to face up to the fact that the game is rigged. And if it's rigged, it's not rigged for your benefit. It's not rigged for my benefit. It's rigged for the benefit of other people who are in a position to rig the game and bribe the people that are operating the game. So, you know, it's disturbing to me. It's the sort of thing where you sit back. I don't want to believe we are living in a world where we are threatened by our own government. I don't want that. I don't even want to say it. And yet, I can't get away from it. I can't avoid that conclusion. What did the government recently order 2 billion rounds of ammunition for? It's not to go to war. It's not for the Army, Navy, you know, the Marines or Air Force or whatever. It's for government employees. They're buying submachine guns for domestic government agencies. You can't look at that and not be threatened. You can't sit there and say, oh, we have nothing to fear from the government. No, I think we do. And if I'm right, you have to make your own assessment, though. Everyone in the audience has to make their own assessment. I know that people don't want to agree with what I've just said. Most people don't want to. I don't want to. But you're going to have to make up your own assessment. Do you see the future as benign? Do you see it as something where we're all going to be dancing down the road, singing Kumbaya? Or do you see it as threatening? Which future do you think is more probable? You have to make that decision in your mind, and based on that, then you decide how you're going to invest your wealth. You're going to invest your wealth in a new car, or are you going to invest your wealth in some food, 6 months' supply of food or a year's supply of food? Are you going to invest your wealth in a new house, or are you going to invest your wealth in some gold and silver coins? What are you going to do? It goes to your vision of the future. I'm Alfred Adams here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adusk here on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. What's next, Melody?
We were talking about the retirement 401ks.
Yep.
That I thought we should get into. And
article of Financial Times: U.S. pensions cash negative by 2016. America's sprawling 401k pension system will turn cash flow negative in 2016. Threatening disruption for asset management and selling of equities. This is according to analysis by Cerulli Associates, a research house. Now, what they mean is this. When by the time right now they have more money coming into the 401k pension system than they have going out. But by 2016, the forecast is the influx will be $364 billion and outflux will be $366 billion. So this isn't decisive. They're not talking about the pension funds are going to cease to exist and they're all going to crash in 2016. Well, they're saying that they are going to begin to be diminished, and we can at least infer that once they come up, they pay out $2 billion more in 2016 than they take in. we can guess they might pay out $10 billion more than they take in 2017. And who knows, maybe $20 billion more. But it's another one of the leaves. By itself, this is just a little interesting anecdote. But it's another one of those leaves in the breeze. Who's going to do, when we start taking more money out of these 401k pension systems than we put in, how much longer can the system hold together? What happens if it goes down? What happens to the people that are counting on their 401k pensions? It's not as if this is this collapse or a possible collapse. I'm not even saying that it's likely, but it's not going to happen in the next 2 years, according to this survey. But it's another one of those leaves in the breeze. And as we were talking earlier in the program, where do you see positive news? I mean, I can hear it from Obama. I know he says it. But where do you see positive news that's real? And it's not apparent to me where you can find that on a regular basis, if at all. So in any case, they're concerned, 2016, pension funds will be paying out more than they take in. Not a good sign. Not a terrible sign. Not a good sign. Leaf in the breeze. What's next, Melody? Melody?
Bob sent me an article. Venezuelan prostitutes earn more selling dollars than sex. We talked this about on the break. And they double their earnings by moonlighting as currency traders in Venezuela. They set up foreign exchange counters for the sailors in the country where buying and selling dollars in the street is a crime. Prostitution isn't. So greenbacks in the black market are worth 11 times more than the official rate as dollars become more scarce in an economy that imports 70% of the goods it consumes. So in Venezuela, the dollar is king down there today. Certainly a lot of those folks can't afford gold or they'd be dealing in gold. But again, there was talk. Has this been something that has been set up to destroy their socialist government where prostitution is legal? It is in the black market in dollars. So it's a lot of things are going on in that country, and it's not for the good.
No, they're clearly in a lot of trouble, and it's a little bit the fact that they're using dollars is not a testimonial to the value of the dollar. It's a testimonial to the land of the blind, a one-eyed man is king. People will use the best they possibly can that's available to them. If they know that their domestic currency is failing, they're going to take some other currency or gold and silver or something, and they'll reach a consensus. They'll know that, look, we've got something here that's better than our domestic currency, and therefore they'll look for it. And they'll bid against each other to get it. And this is why the dollar is, according to this report, 11 times its value is 11 times higher than the official exchange rate in Venezuela. We can expect something like that in a worst-case scenario in this country. But in our country, what would happen if our dollar fails? In the sense that the Venezuelan currency is failing, or at least, it's not collapsed, but it's diminishing in value. What would happen if we saw that here? And the answer is, what are we going to go to? If and when the dollar is no longer an effective store of value, it's no longer a reliable currency, what are we going to go to? And the answer almost certainly is a lot of us are going to go to gold. And it's interesting from that perspective because the black market for dollars is 11 to 1 down in Venezuela. 11. What will the black market for gold be in this country? Do you suppose it could be 11 to 1 as compared to what the official price of gold is? It's not the least bit impossible. And the question becomes, how likely is it that our gold is going to begin to emulate the Venezuelan currency? I don't know if it's a peso. I don't know if they call it a peso, real, or what do they call it. But Venezuelan currency, could our dollar, if our dollar is 11 to 1 down there, could gold be 11 to 1 in this country compared to the official price? Could be.
It's the Bolivar, if that's the proper pronunciation.
The Bolivar.
Okay. But what's interesting is really what happens when you see their standard of living declining when you have their currency. And again, this is something that, you know, we can most likely experience here also. You have people who are living on minimum wage. You know, their supermarkets, they're out of stock. So they end up paying more for something, that four times, five times, six times more for something because there's no food in the stores. One in four basic products were unavailable in shops in January. And that was the last time the central bank published figures. So, you know, it's worse today, perhaps. The percentage of households living below the poverty line rose 6 percentage points in the second half of last year. And that was the first increase since 2010. So certainly they are having, and I think they're, what did I read, that their possibility of default, I guess it's graded, is as high in the world. It was the highest in the world after Argentina. So you certainly do know what is going to happen in Venezuela.
You know, we talk about it. We sit here and talk about this. We're comparing the possibility that the United States is going to perhaps emulate Argentina, based on the idea that the Argentina fiat currency is becoming increasingly devalued, and because of that, the Venezuelan people are reaching out to give us dollars. Not because dollars are good, they're just better than what they have in Venezuela, that's all. Right? But they're better. It's like reaching for straws and so on. Huh? But people would sit back, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, that can't happen here. We're not going to see the kind of devaluation in this country that they see in Venezuela. And the truth of the matter is the dollar right now is only worth a nickel as compared to what it was back in 1971. Right? We've already seen a 95% devaluation of the dollar. Hasn't happened rapidly, and that's what's probably happening in Venezuela. They're seeing a sudden depreciation, a sudden devaluation of their currency, and it's happening over just a couple of years, where in our case it happened over a couple of decades. But even so, 95% loss in 40 years, ballpark figure. Right? What makes anyone think that we're not going to see a similar rate of decline in the value of the dollar over the next several years? We've already lost 95% of its purchasing power. We're going to lose more. It's virtual certainty we're going to lose more. We're going to get down to where a dollar is worth a penny compared to what it was back 40 years ago. As we get deeper and deeper, and the point I'm trying to make, the most important point, is this: the kind of devaluation we see in Venezuela is not only possible in this country, it's happening in this country, with the exception it's been stretched out over 40 years, or in Venezuela it might be happening over a case of 2 or 3 years. That's the fundamental difference. But the magnitude of the problem, no reason to believe we can't have the same kind of problem they see in Venezuela. And with the problems we're talking about, it certainly predisposes Venezuela to a shooting revolution. You're only going to be able to rob these people right now. Melody says one in four primary products that people normally look for on the shelves aren't even there. Prices are up four times. How long can you do that before somebody takes to the street and the next thing you know, you've got buildings on fire? All of this is possible. What do you do to protect yourself? Do your own thinking, make up your mind. Are we headed? Is that scenario probable in this country? Not likely or certain, but is it probable? Is there some reasonable chance this can happen? If it does, then it's like buying a life preserver or whatever else you might use under certain helmet when you're riding your bike or you can go skateboarding.
Well, the difference between Venezuela and the U.S. is people here do have a choice. And a lot of those people that that go to those extremes don't have choices. But if people act today, we have choices. People can make plans. They can protect. And we talk about this, oh, Lord, day in and day out. But it's so very true. And I don't believe things are going to become better. I do believe there will be a day of reckoning, and there will be a day when there's a possibility of all things, that anything can happen. We don't know. I don't think it has actually happened to the scale of it happening like it will here in the U.S. So,
I think if they're going to compare what may be coming, you know, some people talk about, say, oh, we're headed for the Greater Depression. Okay, it'll be even worse than the last depression, the Great Depression. This will be greater. It'll be worse than it. Well, technically, yes. But there's a good chance that the most apt comparison between what might be coming to this country and the last time we saw something similar, a similar debacle in this country, might be that we don't compare it to the Great Depression. Might be that we compare it to the Civil War.
I don't think so. I don't see that happening.
You've got 3 days' supply of food in the big cities. What happens, worst case scenario, that food supply is shut down. People go hungry after three days. What happens then? I mean, there's going to be the potential. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know. You know, maybe we all
turn against each other.
We work together.
Now, they just turn against each other.
That's my point.
But, if the one turns against the other and you wipe out 50%, maybe that's what they want anyway. I don't know. All I know is what I can do today, and you can create all types of scenarios, and each one has a realm of possibility. It's possible.
Yeah, I know.
You can't be
overly pessimistic about
what
this.
What Bob always used to say is possible or probable. It's possible.
And it's difficult to make an objective analysis. There are so many subjective issues and things we can't know, things we can't understand. And one of the things we hear on a regular basis is that we are in uncharted territory. We talked about that last week. We talked about where the central banks are now prepared in Europe. They're saying we're prepared to run some experiments. Well, what does that prove? It proves that their existing tools don't work anymore. The things that they've relied on for decades, if not centuries, for a central bank, they don't work under these circumstances, so they're going to consider an experiment like negative interest rates. An experiment. They are experimenting on the people of Europe because they don't know what else to do. That can't inspire confidence. When you find out that your government is experimenting on you or your spouse or your children or your parents, will that inspire confidence? Shouldn't. Because if they're experimenting, it's an admission. They don't know what to do. We're at a place the world has never been before, all by itself. That's the kind of evidence that says you better be prepared. All right. We may muddle through. We may get through just fine before this is all over. That might happen. But on the other hand, we might see more trouble than we've ever seen before. And you have to make up your own mind which scenario is most likely, and you invest in your financial survival accordingly.
Has anyone termed Frankenstein economics?
Huh? I suppose some people have.
Frankenstein economics.
We'll talk about Frankenstein and maybe even the Wolfman. Get the Wolfman. That's Frank. He's our Wolfman. Frank's the producer. When we return,
Wolfman
tomorrow.
Was not an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Frankenstein was the experiment.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back mañana in the meantime. The good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye.